In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The message of Jesus in the Gospel today is a summation of the chapter in Matthew we've been praying with over the last weeks. Likening this to his directives to the apostles, Jesus has put a primary emphasis on relationships. He's taught unconditional love for others with no exception. He's modeled hospitality, inclusion, discernment for when one encounters impasse. Shake the dust from your feet. Our collect today draws us into the spirit of his teaching, which includes the lessons of the prophets. To be a prophet, now that can be scary and challenging. Can we speak truth to power? And how do we know the truth? How can we know when we are to speak or to act? And how can we know that we're actually following Jesus? Many in our day claim Christian truth, yet act counter to Christian principle. The tendency to focus on Christian certainty is often weaponized towards innocent, well-meaning followers in order to gain control over them. The maligned intention is often co-opted by ego-centered, patriarchal tendencies seeking power and control. It is important to know that truth is not a set of answers that you begin with and then backfill with questions for a retroactive fit. This is a true-false sort of thinking, a black and white approach, which you've often heard me term as dualism, and it is not good. It's a control mechanism inside of demoralizing social ideologies that include but are not limited to racism, sexism, ageism. And these share a common link, which is a negative prejudgment. But can we look to our gospel today to offer us hope and the proper direction? It's only three verses, very short, but it packs a powerful punch, no less. And so let's unpack these. First, we are all connected together in the work of the harvest. As we bring forward the good works that we are directed to do, we are doing the work of Jesus. To give and to receive, both of these are blessed. And bringing the work of Jesus, also receiving the work of Jesus, comes through others, and it is no less than us receiving God. Number two, participating in God, both giving and receiving, is actually becoming to God. We are ambassadors of sorts, and pondering this causes us to understand that an ambassador of God seeks not their own personal reward. The glory always, always goes to God. And this relational aspect is very Trinitarian in nature. You'll hear me talk about this a lot. Supporting Jesus, supporting God, and supporting us through the Holy Spirit, which drives all of this. It's a dynamic, ever-moving relationship, and it's energized by love. A dance, if you will. Number three, the messaging we offer does not need to be a bombastic, large-scale, or heroic sort of thing. Even the small measure of help or relief draws us into this apprenticeship. The metaphor used today is a cool cup of water. Have you ever been offered relief in a time of trial? And how do we extend hospitality for that refreshment and relief? Random acts of kindness, seeking no reward, can start to move us in this pattern. Well, Jesus modeled a singleness and purity of heart. He embraced everyone, everything, taking nothing for his own profit. There was no manipulation, there was no self-ambition, and he had a unique ability to let go of things he wasn't supposed to hold on to. He was uniquely able to move within and beyond opposites, compassionately. And his presence was, and is incomprehensible in its simplicity of love and sacrifice. How do we learn the humility and character of Jesus? We want to pattern our lives after him. Is it learned? It is learned through rigor and modesty, and it takes work to understand that certainty absolutely denies a faith, and it requires a listening heart. This may ask us to be open to prophetic announcements, which may come at us in various ways and sometimes may be quite uncomfortable. Our Old Testament reading from the prophet Jeremiah pronounces that the prophet who prophesies peace as it comes true will indicate that the Lord has truly sent that person as a prophet. Barbara Holmes is a contributor to Contemplative Outreach, which I often am attached to, and it emphasizes how the arts are an integral part of crisis contemplation and the healing of communal wounds. The artists are prophets. They say what can't be said in ways that can be heard. They dance it, they rap it, and they write it into drama. They're forerunners for the community, and art can knit a community together without having to do a lot of talking around it. Poetry and rap rhythms offer survival often to people who are marginalized into poverty. Through art, they can take that poverty and turn it on its head. And in our communities, we offer graffiti images of folks who are slain. We dance. We let our bodies reveal suffering and our persistence. And when all else fails, we can sing ourselves sane. Art opens portals to new realities, and it is prophetic. It is humanizing. It speaks truth to power, and so it is another way in which a community can come together and express itself in ways that the power structures can do nothing about. What do you do about a rap song that speaks to the brutality of a system? Art is an expression of spirit, and a lot that comes from artists is not coming from them. It's coming through them. The reason that art is so powerful is that when you have expressions of art coming through a group of people, a village, a community, you have a great deal of creative and strategic power that's available to everyone for their use. Making art together is an act of creation that's invigorating. Communities of choice that are artistic are communities because they're always on the cutting edge of society. They're not leading with what they think. They're leading with what is coming through them that's always healing. And I witnessed this here in Bradford County through the Bradford County Arts Council in film and also on the stage. Arts help us to hear the voices of community. And art also speaks to a larger truth than our suffering. Our job is to make a genuine offer. Whether you are a writer, a dancer, a healer, a sculptor, a painter, a singer, a musician, an architect, a teacher, a gardener, a philosopher, or a caregiver, on and on and on and on, your offering is sure to be medicine for the collective well-being. Consider your life as a gift. What is inside, and what creative expression are you warehousing that actually brings you alive and therefore can belong to all of us? Philosopher, theologian, and civil rights leader Howard Thurman encouraged us in this way. Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive, and then go do that, because what the world needs is people who have come alive. May we join with the prophets and apostles in birthing into the world a new order. Deliver us from the service of self alone, that we may do the work you have given us to do in truth and in beauty and for the common good, for the sake of the one who comes among us as the one who serves. Amen.